This episode is long overdue. We recorded this about a month ago. And then I went on vacation, came home, had COVID, procrastinated quite a bit. Released the short little snippet that you guys got this past weekend. And now here is one of the two episodes where we discuss suspects, but more specifically, Mr. AJ Cannon, Jessica's boyfriend at the time of her disappearance. Welcome to The Truth Lies Between, which is a podcast about the truth, the lies, and everything that comes in between. The first podcast was on Carly Crusade. The second one, which is wrapping up within this or the next episode, and that's on Jessica Van Zandt Dietzel. And we've touched upon most of the suspects already. We're going to talk about a big one today, and that's AJ Cannon. He was Jessica's boyfriend. That was who she was with when she went missing. Her and Kenny Man were not together. I don't even think they were on speaking terms. He had just gotten out of jail. We already went over him. I've almost completely crossed him off my list of suspects at this point. There's another suspect that I haven't even mentioned. I barely spoke about him. I just call him Mr. Lawyered Up. He's very important, and I'll tell you why. The trail runs dead with him, essentially, okay? Alday said it best when he said that they tracked down the last person that she was going to be with on that 18th, and that he was very uncooperative, to say the least. And he lawyered up. Now, I never say, from someone just lawyering up, that they're guilty. I don't agree with that. But being, you can lawyer up and still be cooperative. Now, that's all I can really say about him. We know that that's the last phone she was using. Did she meet up with somebody else? Did somebody else come and take her? Did she go somewhere else? No. Not that there was a trail of, at least. But that doesn't mean it couldn't have happened. You know, all signs seem to be pointing that way. But right now, we're going to dig into AJ Cannon. And we're going to start it out by talking about the interview and some weird messages that I thought were odd.
So his last messages with Jessica are on the 16th, where she actually would have responded. So they go back and forth about her getting picked up. But the most important text message, I think, is that on the 18th, AJ sends her a message saying, "Guess you and Patrick are doing okay. Guess I'm about to get out of this hellhole for a while. Please take care of yourself and do whatever it takes to get that baby girl back because she needs her mother. Love you." And then there's like some days that go on in between, and he basically just keeps talking about how he's hurt, and you know, you and Patrick enjoy your life. You and Patrick go do whatever makes you happy. And then he does start messaging her a few days later asking if she's okay. I would assume that was after he had heard from Jessica's mom, Christina, and had started to hear the rumors that something had happened to Jessica. Yeah, it was something to that effect, and I believe that was on the, was it the 13th or 16th?
And that was the day that she was behind White Seafood, right?
I always thought that it was very important that he says that because it's believable. Believable because Patrick's reputation. People say that Patrick has this rough side to him, but
AJ is also the boyfriend at the time. So people are going to be more amped to believe things that were going on between them. So now if he has this jealousy towards Patrick, which you can see throughout this conversation, it's just a huge red flag for me, especially after seeing Patrick's demeanor and seeing that AJ is more believable as harming her than Patrick. I just thought it was a huge red flag.
We know that Brian Sadler did make that post around that time that stated, AJ Cannon, stop putting me in your bullshit, brother, because AJ was pointing the finger. And I think it's important to note that at the proximity that they all lived. So AJ's house is right on the corner, right across the street is woods. You would follow a trail, an ATV trail into those woods to get to Tent City. White Seafood is just a block away from AJ Cannon's house. So they're all right there in the same vicinity.
So for those of you who have been following this case and this podcast since inception, you've seen the Patrick Rambone video where he is being questioned and you can just see his demeanor. It speaks volumes. And if you haven't, you can go back and view that and you'll see what I'm referring to. Now, we also know another thing about AJ, and we learned this in the Etherton phone call, and that's that AJ is known for almost trapping people at his house. Now, like I said, we know this from Etherton, and if you want to go more into that about either Etherton or others you've heard this from, please do.
Right, so in Stephen Etherton's call, if he told the truth about one thing, it was that AJ would get super tweaked out, get paranoid, and not allow people to leave his house. That's why a lot of people didn't like to go over there. So we do know that, I mean, we don't know for a fact, but it's been said by multiple people that some of his previous girlfriends were kind of had to be rescued from the house in a way that they would have to have friends come and sneak them out. And you can also see if you go back in Jessica's text messages even further back that when she's trying to get people to come get her from AJ's, she's always kind of sneaking out. Like she wasn't, not that she wasn't free to go and come. Maybe she was, maybe she wasn't. But there were times when it seemed like she may have been nervous about a confrontation had she tried to leave AJ's house.
And this brings me to another very critical point. And that's a text message that I saw and you saw and that will be shown on the video version where she mentions somebody hitting on her and we find out that that person is AJ. Now, what do you know about him hitting on her? Can you validate this?
It just said that she was tired of him beating on her and putting his hands on her, and she did send that to a friend. And she was talking about AJ, that she wanted someone to come and get her. There was a big blowout. I believe the date would have been the 16th or somewhere in that time frame where neighbors do see clothes getting thrown in the yard. They, you know, I don't think they were on good terms when Jessica went missing. And she did say that she stated, you know, to more than one person that she was tired of him hitting on her.
Right. And
so we also know it is a known fact that AJ has an extensive record with a drug that is specifically tied to abuse, which is crystal meth, and that he is known to use that. And it also causes a lot of paranoia, which may be one of the reasons that he didn't want people to leave, which is what Etherton also went into. But do you want to go into some of that paranoia that he discussed with you about China, as well as some other paranoia possibly that he discussed with you?
He is a very paranoid person. We do know that he had cameras, surveillance cameras. Actually, a neighbor did say during, you know, when people were outside of his house that, you know, he's watching you guys on camera, right? He had cameras set up around his house, and actually in one conversation did tell me that the satellites in China could tell me everything that I needed to know. And he was very adamant about these satellites in China. He did have extreme paranoia at times. That's well documented and well known to other people. It's why some people didn't want to be over there and didn't want to be around him, because he would go into bouts of extreme, extreme paranoia. And yeah, he wanted me to just basically call China, just China, no number, no person, but they would be able to tell me everything I needed to know. I wanted to make probably the largest point is that AJ is adamant that the last time he saw Jessica was on February 16th. We have made contact with an anonymous witness who saw Jessica and AJ at a different location, and she is just as adamant that it was the 17th, and she knows that because it was President's Day and she was off work. So I don't understand why he knows how critical this is. His girlfriend is missing. He would lie about the date, but he was very adamant that he did not see her after Sunday. There's a whole story in there about his parents coming to dinner, and he knows that it was their Sunday dinner, so he knows it was the 16th. I just don't understand, if there's nothing nefarious going on, why AJ would lie about the last time he seen her. You think he would be beating our doors down to help find her because she was his girlfriend at the time she goes missing. And I understand they were having a squabble, you know, but this is not the first time they had had a squabble. So it's nothing new. That was definitely one thing that struck me as odd. Another thing, if you listen to the very end of the phone call where it gets disconnected, we start talking about someone's mom and Messenger, and I actually start to read the message and he just hangs up. When he doesn't have a reason or an excuse for something, he just hangs up on me and then, you know, calls back and says he has a guest that just supposedly just showed up. Because I don't think he had an answer for it. He's not the best liar. I mean, that's obvious in the tape. We're telling two different stories about a tire shop and one phone conversation. There's just a lot of red flags with AJ and the fact that he put his hands on her. Domestic violence is a huge issue. We know that. We know that Kenny also had domestic violence issues when it came to Jessica. And to me, that you can't rule either out. If you're willing to put your hands on a woman, you're a certain type of scumbag.
That any man who puts their hands on a woman is not a man, and they just weren't brought up properly. There is never a situation where becoming violent with a female, if you're a male, is a good idea. It really, really, really shows somebody's character, in my opinion. You know, I'm not perfect, but I know that's one thing I would never do. And it's for me at least, it's if you'll put your hands on them, there's no telling what you'll do. And his jealousy and his vindictiveness is clear as day throughout the conversation. It's just, I can't shake it. I can't take him off the list. You know, when you combine that with the drug that he does, it's a recipe for disaster.
And she wasn't with you by the 16th. Was she? No.
She left me on the 16th. The reason I know that, because it was on Sunday night, and my mom and them had been to church, and they went to go eat somewhere, and they was coming home while I was out in the front yard, and they wanted to know why I was out in the front yard. And Jessica was walking up the street. My mom said, "What? She's leaving again?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "But I think she's got the keys to my truck." And my dad said, "Well, you want to go see?" I said, "Yeah." By the time she was out of sight, you couldn't even see her. She done walked all the way up the street. Mm-hmm. And they went up there, and I know damn well she didn't have the keys, because she would never lie to my mom. And but my mom said, she said, but if she didn't got them, she said she threw them. And you should have seen them. And I said, "No." I said, "But if she told you she ain't got them, she don't have them, so they're here somewhere." So I looked and I looked. So about 30 minutes later, I found them, and she had thrown them in the corner of the bed. Mm. And beside the bed is where she had thrown them. And I got the keys and locked the house up. And I walked next door and I ate supper with mom and them and talked to them for a few minutes and everything. Then I came back over to the house and I was sitting here and I was like, damn, kind of bored. So I called a buddy of mine in Putney, Tony Odom. And I went to Tony's and I hung out with him until wee hours in the morning. And then I went to William Lemons because I didn't realize that my gas was empty and I had no money. So I went to William Lemons and got $2 from him first thing that morning and went to the first Indian store on Holly Drive and put $2 of gas in my truck. Came home, took a shower, and went to work with my dad and started a boat down there, or actually a trailer, tearing the trailer apart, redoing the trailer for my dad.
That's just weird. I don't know.
hold on, let me see. There's another thing right here. He says, where is Jessica, homie? Who is Tim? He said, we need to talk. And this is something else he sent right here. Let's see if you see this. Uh-oh. Did I send it?
Not yet.
I'm doing it somehow.
There it goes.
We know of another incident where we learned this from Stephen Eagleton, that Jessica had clothes in his car and she wanted them out, and he had this whole issue saying that he didn't have his keys to his truck, right?
Right. And that she had the keys, and it was just like a big mess. And she actually did end up, I believe, throwing the keys in the yard.
Right, and that's when she supposedly hit his car or something. It was in the Eagleton interview.
Yeah.
Or not interview,
Phone call.
Phone call. So, I've listened to this one specific phone call by AJ repeatedly, and I just noticed that he lies a lot, continuously lies, always tries to deflect, and I think he has an overinflated ego.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, does he have a record, do you know?
He does have a record. Actually, I know that when this all happened and Jessica went missing, Christina was outside of his house begging for the cops to kick in the door. They came. Albany Police Department did come and knock and say that he wasn't home and that they would come back tomorrow. This is in the very beginning, and AJ is one of the last people that Jessica was seen with. They don't go. The next day, Lee County actually did come and get him on a warrant. I don't remember exactly what that warrant was for, but it was I do believe it was drug-related. And they actually picked him up.
Another important issue that is raised in my mind during this conversation is why he would say something about weapons and some guy named Donald and his main target, Patrick. It really makes me wonder, if he was responsible, did he use a knife, therefore setting up an alibi or an excuse or just a way to point the finger at somebody else by creating a situation in which someone asks him for a weapon, specifically Patrick Rambone?
He's actually saying, I believe in that phone call, a guy named Donald was actually looking for a weapon and a flashlight, but that would have been... I think he was basically saying that Patrick was with him at the time. The story's confusing, and he's told two versions of that story. You're going to hear the one phone call where it's the first version. There was another time that he was spoken to where he told a different version of that, but it was Patrick Rambone and a guy named Donald that he basically said he came knocking on his door looking for a weapon and a flashlight, so he gave him a machete. I'm confused as to why you would need a weapon to go get a boat.
I know this. That's what I don't understand either.
But he specifically asked you. He didn't say like I need a machete to cut vines. He specifically asked you for a weapon, right?
Yes, because he said he needed a weapon.
A weapon and a flashlight.
That was Donald Draper, now, huh?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. No, that's.
But see, I'm gonna find out. I'm gonna know he's lying to me, because Maggie's or Margaret's not gonna lie to me when I call her and I get her on the phone.
Yeah.
She's not going to lie to me. I wish I knew a way, because I don't think she's on Facebook, or she might be on Facebook. I need to see. And then see if I can go talk to her tonight.
And she's working at Jack Ivy's shop, right, like, now.
Yeah, because, she was doing, she was working at, she's kind of slow a little bit, but she was curb stores for the Indian guy.
Yeah.
And she says she still does a little work for him. Because I seen her at the tire place, matter of fact, when I was getting a tire last time. And just coincidence, she just happened to pop up. Matter of fact, Mark was with me, Jessica's brother. He was with me when I went and got the tires, and she popped up because he knew her.
I want everybody to make sure they pay close attention to the next segment where AJ and Lee are speaking. And just listen to AJ, what he says. This is, to me, the most critical information about this case, if it is true.
Never understood understand that about me, because she would try to do everything she could to make me jealous, and it couldn't, because I had my guard up, you know?
Yeah.
I had to have it, you know what I'm saying? I'd have been through so much anyway. And my heart, she can't take too much more hurt, which I've done it to myself, and it's most of the part. But
right.
45, no kids, and never been married, so, I mean... And you know what makes it so bad is Jessica had just told me that she thought she was pregnant with my baby. But then I know she slept with Steven one night because she told me. Then she wound up sleeping with Patrick. And she came to me bragging about that. And
you talking about Etherton?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
But she said Steven used a condom, but she said she thought he might have took it off. But I was like, well, whose baby do you think it is? And she's like, I think it's yours, AJ. And but I don't know if she was just telling me that or what. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's, man, that's really what fucking hurt me so damn bad, god dang, because, you know, I don't have no kids, and,
yeah.
And for me to see my own image, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I always thought it looked half-ass good anyway, so I always wanted to see what my baby would look like, you know what I mean? That's something I never get to see, and it hurts, you know what I'm saying? So, if she was pregnant with my baby, oh my god.
That sucks, dude. I Kelly had said that, you know... That had been said, but we didn't.
So, whoever's done it, yeah, they need to find out. If in a way, I hope it ain't too late. God dang. Because yeah. Whoever's done this shit, that's double. That's double right there.
You're right.
Because you're damn right it is.
Especially if they, especially somebody new, man. If they knew.
You're damn right.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Okay, now I want to process something that was just said. Is Jessica being pregnant a motive for AJ? Absolutely not. He just said, 45, no kids, no wife. He wants a kid, okay? He's not going to kill her over a kid. If AJ was the one to do this, it would have been in some rage. And I think they would have been evidence, because they have searched at home. I do believe they would have been evidence. You know, he was always at the top. But it's just so difficult knowing that he was not the last one with her. Then we have Steven Etherton. As we've all heard, he did lie. He did lie about sleeping with her. And I think it's just because he's a liar. He's just a straight up liar. Nothing he said in his conversation was the truth. And I think that is more because of he has a girlfriend, you know, he's trying to be a little player or whatever, I don't know. But I don't think he's lying because he killed her. I don't think he has it in him to kill her. Candyman has been trying too hard to find out what happened to her for him to be the one to have done it. If he had done it, he would have just shut his mouth and just kept living his life. Motive, right? We're talking motive here. Let's just say you are older, kind of well known, and you get a younger girl who people know is having issues in her life at this moment, and you get her pregnant. Do you have motive now to kill her? Abso-fucking-lutely. Might even call you to lawyer up, wouldn't it? Okay, so that's going to end it for part one of this episode 9. And the second part is already finished. We'll be putting it out in a week. And then on the 1-year mark, I'm not going to call it an anniversary because there's nothing to celebrate. A girl went missing, right? You don't celebrate that. We'll be doing a live on my Facebook channel. So I'm going to make an event. And for all who would like to join that live, make sure that you accept the invitation. So, if you could, please, if you're watching this on YouTube, like and share. Subscribe if you enjoy this stuff. And if you're watching it on your podcast platform, share it or let somebody know if you do think it is worthwhile. And until next time, guys, I'm D and I am out. That any man puts their hands on a woman is not a man, and they just weren't brought up properly. There is never a situation where becoming violent with a female, if you're a male, is a good idea. It really shows somebody's character, in my opinion. You know, I'm not perfect, but I know that's one thing I would never do. And it's for me at least, it's if you'll put your hands on them, there's no telling what you'll do. And his jealousy and his vindictiveness is clear as day throughout the conversation. It's just, I can't shake it. I can't take him off the list. You know, when you combine that with the drug that he does, it's a recipe for disaster.
I wanted to make probably the largest point is that AJ is adamant that the last time he saw Jessica was on February 16th. We have made contact with an anonymous witness who saw Jessica and AJ at a different location, and she is just as adamant that it was the 17th, and she knows that because it was President's Day and she was off work. So I don't understand why he knows how critical this is. His girlfriend is missing. He would lie about the date, but he was very adamant that he did not see her after Sunday. There's a whole story in there about his parents coming to dinner, and he knows that it was their Sunday dinner, so he knows it was the 16th. I just don't understand, if there's nothing nefarious going on, why AJ would lie about the last time he seen her. You think he would be beating our doors down to help find her because she was his girlfriend at the time she goes missing. And I understand they were having a squabble, you know, but this is not the first time they had a squabble. So it's nothing new. That was definitely one thing that struck me as odd. Another thing, if you listen to the very end of the phone call where it gets disconnected, we start talking about someone's mom and Messenger, and I actually start to read the message and he just hangs up. When he doesn't have a reason or an excuse for something, he just hangs up on me and then, you know, calls back and says he has a guest that just supposedly just showed up. Because I don't think he had an answer for it. He's not the best liar. I mean, that's obvious in the tape. We're telling two different stories about a tire shop and one phone conversation. There's just a lot of red flags with AJ and the fact that he put his hands on her. Domestic violence is a huge issue. We know that. We know that Kenny also had domestic violence issues when it came to Jessica. And to me, that you can't rule either out. If you're willing to put your hands on a woman, you're a certain type of scumbag.
Of course, and I've said that many times, that, you know, anyone who puts their hands on a woman is not a man. That's a coward. And we know that AJ did put his hands on her in the past, so ruling him out is just impossible. And after I listened to the conversations, I can't shake him being the one who did it. I just got a feeling that he was involved. Now, that's just complete. So it is speculation, but it's based on facts. The facts of the case that we have, which there's a lot of rumors, but there are also a lot of facts.
Right.
And, yeah, you know.
Huh.
But, this Draper guy, I swear, I'm thinking it's between Draper and Dam and Johnny, to be honest with you. But I don't know. It's got me so fucking puzzled. I really don't know. I mean, But Johnny kept coming in my mind because of Dam. This text that she was sending me. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I knew that he was trying to get at her because, I mean, he was coming by here. Man, where's old girl at? You know what I'm saying? And he, you know, a lot of times Jessica, she would hang out in the bathroom because she got what she was doing.
So as I try to unpack all of this information, it has me still thinking AJ is a definite suspect. As far as his lies, though, I just feel like he's been trained to lie almost due to his drug history and how he is and how paranoid he is. And I don't, you don't know what type of mental state that he was in during this conversation. I still believe he's a suspect. Kenny Man, I'm not so sure of it anymore. Brian Sadler, definitely up there on the list as well due to his temperamental attitude. I heard a story about him getting into a fight in Burger King over a taco. There is Johnny Lemon, who, from what I understand, is the person who came up with the story about Jessica being thrown into the river. So how would he know that? Where did he get that from? He also has a violent past. And then there's Mr. Lawyer up that we spoke about earlier. And I just can't shake the fact that he was the last one to be with her when she was at the Ozone and she left. She was known to be with this person, and that was the last person that she was with. That's the last person's cell phone that she was using that magically disappeared. So that's where we're at, folks. We're going to do a live on the Missing Person Cases Network channel at the 1 year mark. Hopefully she's found safe before them, or at least found. Make sure you like this video and share it. Subscribe to the channel. We also have listener support on Anchor, as well as Patreon and other ways that you can support us in our movement. So that, folks, is the end of this episode. And until there is further information put out, that is the end of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed, and make sure you continue to share about Jessica. So, there is one more person that we can add to the list of those who have failed Jessica, and I'm going to have to put myself on that list. I promised a certain, I don't know if you would call it product, it's not a product, I promised a certain level of participation and a final product that would come of that, and I failed on that for sure. I had both of the episodes done. They were both done. They were both approved because they have to get approved. I can't just put things out, especially on a case like this where, you know, information is regarded highly, certain details. I can't just be saying things. So it was approved, so I did do it. But then being lazy, like I usually am, I just said, you know what, I'm going to make this two episodes because it was too much information. So I deleted the second half. Like, oh, I'll just remember which ones it was. And I have no idea. So that's where I'm at now. I have not forgotten about Jessica. I'll never forget about Jessica. So, yeah, that should have been out a while ago, to say the least. But I am going to get it out ASAP.